Every Mother's Day, I think of a story that I heard a long time ago. It's a story about a mom. She had two kids. One was about 11 years old, her daughter, and then a 9-year-old son. And it was Mother's Day, and she woke up early, and she was just sort of staying in bed because she heard that her children, she could hear them in the house, and they were going around. She could tell they were doing something. In fact, she could tell that they were in the kitchen. And so she heard pots and pans rattling and different things, and she heard the water running, and then water go off, then water go back on in the kitchen. She was hearing all these things, heard the refrigerator door opening and closing, all these things. And so she thought, well, they're making me breakfast in bed. And so she sort of prepared herself for whatever breakfast in bed might mean for her that day. But anyway, she was waiting, and they never did come. In fact, she listened, and she could hear, again, the water running and some of the pots and things sort of making noise, and then silence for about 15 minutes. And nobody ever came in. Finally, her son and daughter came in and said, "Happy Mother's Day." They had nothing in their hands. They said, "Happy Mother's Day. Mom, we made our own breakfast today and cleaned up so that you don't have to." And that was her Mother's Day present. Well, today I want to talk to you about one mother's miracle. And so I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 7. One mother's miracle. British Christian author G.K. Chesterton wrote, "The most incredible thing about miracles is that they happen." And you know, that's the truth. A miracle is incredible because it's real. It's not imaginary. The most incredible thing about miracles is that they happen. And motherhood is a miracle that happens 385,000 times every day. You realize that on planet Earth, 385,000 babies are born every day. And every new mother experiences a miracle. But you know, motherhood is a miracle even before birth. When the child is conceived in the womb, there is a miracle of motherhood. The physiology of what happens as that child develops in the womb and its system, the baby's system, is joined together with the mother's system, and how God nurtures that baby through the body of the mother. That's a miracle. And then after the baby is born, the miracle continues as the mother helps that baby to grow and to develop and to become. There's a miracle of motherhood there. There's a miracle in how a mother pours herself into the life of her son or her daughter, and how she nurtures and loves and teaches that child also to nurture and love. At every step along the way, and however motherhood comes to you, motherhood is a miracle. But today we're going to talk about one particular mother who experienced an incredible miracle from the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't a miracle that she asked for. It wasn't a miracle that she was looking for. It wasn't a miracle that she was expecting. But it was a miracle that she received from the hand of the Lord Jesus and from the word of the Lord Jesus. I want you to stand with me as we read God's word together. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 11 of the text. The Bible says, "Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people.' And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country." This is the word of God. Will you join with me as we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for your word. I ask God that you would move me out of the way and, Lord, speak a word of encouragement and strength and hope and peace today through your word. And we'll give you glory for all that you do. For we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want us to think about this miracle that this one mother received on the day that we read about in the Word of God. And I want to talk to you about three miraculous things that Jesus did for her. Three miraculous things that Jesus can do for you. And so think about the three miracles that Jesus worked. Three miraculous things we see in the life of the Lord Jesus and this mother whom he met. First of all, think with me about miraculous understanding. Miraculous understanding. Jesus saw her need. Jesus saw her need. Verse 11 tells us that Jesus came to a town called Nain. Now, Nain was just a little bit southeast of Nazareth in the area of Galilee. It was about a day's journey from Capernaum, which was the town where Jesus headquartered his ministry during his time ministering in the Galilee area. By this time, Jesus has become so popular that people are following him in droves everywhere he goes. And so Jesus is coming into the city of Nain. His disciples are with him, and then along with his disciples, a big group of people, all kinds of people coming with him into the city. As he reaches the city gate, Jesus meets another group. Jesus and his group that he's leading are on their way to a city. But he meets a woman who is on her way to a cemetery. And there behind this woman who is so obviously grieving is an open coffin. Now the Bible calls it a bier. And that's a word that's used to describe a sort of a stretcher that was made out of woven wood plats that were woven together, sort of like wicker. And that bier is holding up this dead young man, the son of the grieving woman. The pallbearers are carrying the body out to the cemetery. The woman is in the front, and then behind, a large group of people from the town who are making their way to grieve and to bury this young man. Notice what the Bible says in verse 13 of the text. It says, "And when the Lord saw her," focus on just four words there, "the Lord saw her." Now the word for saw is a simple word in the original language. It simply means to perceive with the eyes. The Lord saw her. Well, in that sense, everyone saw her. The disciples saw her, and the crowd with Jesus saw her, and the pallbearers saw her, and the people from the town saw her, and they saw that she was stressed and that she was sorrowful, and they saw that she was stooped in her shoulders because of her grief, and they saw the tears that were running down her face. Everyone saw her, but I want you to notice something. The Bible says the Lord saw her. And because he is the Lord, Jesus saw things that no one else could see about this woman. He saw everything about her. He saw her past. He knew that she had been widowed by her husband, and now she had lost her only son, a son that she loved and depended on. He saw her present and how much she was hurting and grieving in that moment. And he saw her future. He knew that after that funeral was over and after that body was buried, that she would turn around and go back to her home in the village. And there she would be all alone, vulnerable to anyone who might try to take advantage of her, unable to work and support herself, because in those days it was difficult for a widowed woman who had no support to work for herself. He saw everything about her. Things that were invisible to everyone else, Jesus saw. And so we see a miraculous understanding. Jesus saw her need. Do you know that Jesus sees your need? I mean, when you feel like you are invisible to everybody else, and I know there are people here today, there's some moms here today and others here today who would say, you know, I just feel like nobody really knows. Nobody really sees. Nobody knows what I'm going through. And even when I talk to people and I try to tell them, I can't quite express it. And sometimes I get tired of having to answer and try to explain what's going on. It seems like no one really sees. Jesus sees. He sees your need. He knows what's going on in your life. You are never invisible to him. And he'll meet you at your point of greatest need with his perfect understanding. Her name is Janet Stafford. She works for Focus on the Family Ministry. When Janet Stafford gave birth to her daughter, Kirsten, everyone in the delivery room grew silent. It became silent. That moment, Janet became the mother of a child with Down syndrome. Janet later noted that not one time, did she or her husband, Sean, hear the word congratulations from their doctor or from people on the medical team. Instead, they heard words filled with doubt and disappointment, warnings of health concerns for their baby, warnings about a likely short life expectancy. That's what she heard. It was a time when it felt like no one really saw what was happening to her. Today, her story is so different. Today, Janet feels blessed. Her daughter, Kirsten, has an infectious joy and an acceptance of everyone she meets and hugs for people that she thinks are hurting, and an endless sensitivity that inspires her mother and her whole family. Without even knowing it, Kirsten has taught her mom and her dad and everyone else in her family to celebrate small yet important things. And Janet wrote that if she could go back in time, and if she could go back and somehow tell that doctor who said nothing to her, if she could go back and tell that doctor what to say, if she could put words into that doctor's mouth at Kirsten's birth, she said she would put words like this in his mouth. Congratulations. Congratulations. You are about to experience pure, uninhibited love and joy like never before. Your children will be more kind and thoughtful because of the gift they have in a sibling with Down syndrome. You have just become part of an extremely supportive community, one that most parents only dream of having. And you will feel closer to your Creator every moment that you look into the eyes of this precious child of yours. Once again, congratulations. She said, those are the words I would put in his mouth. Can I tell you something? When everyone else thinks you're invisible, Jesus sees. He cares. He knows. And he reaches out with compassion. And that brings me to the second miracle that we find in this text. Think with me, secondly, about miraculous compassion. Jesus felt this woman's sorrow. He not only saw, but he had compassion for the sorrow that she was experiencing. So look again in verse 13 of the text. The Bible says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. He saw her and had compassion on her. That word compassion in the original language is a word that's almost impossible for us to translate into English. It means to feel something deep in your guts. It's a word that they used, and it literally means deep in the guts. It was a word that they used to talk about emotions. Now, today, you wouldn't tell anybody, I love you with all my guts. You wouldn't say that to somebody. But in those days, that's the way they talked about love. That's the way they talked about what we would call the heart. And so for that reason, some translations put it this way. Jesus saw her, and his heart went out to her. Jesus saw her, and his heart felt compassion for her. One translation puts it, Jesus saw her and his heart broke for her. He not only saw her and knew her situation, but with his own heart, with the deepest part of who he was, he entered into her sorrow. He had compassion on her. That's important for us to hear. And that's important for us to know. Because sometimes when we are going through the deepest pains in our lives, sometimes we are tempted to wonder if God who sees also cares. You know, there's another account in the Old Testament of a great prophet of God who brought the son of a widow back to life. And in fact, as Luke wrote his account of Jesus bringing this woman's son back to life, the language that he uses in Luke is very intentionally parallel to the language that we find of a similar story in the Old Testament. So I want you to look with me at that other story. Look in 1 Kings chapter 17. In 1 Kings chapter 17, the Word of God tells about a time when a widow woman with whom the prophet Elijah was staying, she had a son and her son died. And Elijah, through the power of God, brought this son back to life. But what's very interesting in this passage of Scripture is that the Word of God gives us an insight as to how the widow and the prophet Elijah reacted when this son died. I want you to notice the words, first of all, that she said, that the widow said. Look in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 18. The Bible says, "And she," the widow, "said to Elijah, 'What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son.'" That's what the widow said. You've got something against me. Speaking to Elijah, but for her, Elijah represented God. God had something against her, she thought. God was holding a sin against her. God had caused the death of her son. That's what she thought. And listen to what the prophet Elijah said, verse 20. "And he cried to the Lord, 'O Lord, my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son?'" Their assumption was that God saw and that God knew, but that God did not care all that much. That God had caused this death, that he was doing it to punish or that he had done it to bring calamity against this family. And we sometimes feel the same things. When we're hurting most, we know that God sees and we know that God has all power and we know that God could do something, and so we begin to wonder, does God really care? The truth is, God does care. And listen, we can't explain and we can't understand on this side of heaven the reason that some things happen to our families and to us. I know that there are moms and dads who have lost sons and daughters to death who are in this room. And you have questions that are still unanswered, and they will be unanswered on this side of heaven. And I know that there are sons and daughters who have lost moms and dads to death. And you may have unanswered questions you don't understand. We don't know all of the answers to all the questions, but we do know this. The God who sees also has compassion on you at your point of greatest need. In the Word of God, in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 32 and 33, the Bible says this about God and His compassion. It says, "But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love." Does God cause grief to come into our lives? Yes, but he will have compassion according to the abundance of his love. Verse 33, "For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men." What does that mean? That means God's heart never desires to hurt us. God's heart never desires to cause us pain. God's heart reaches out to us in compassion. And so we can come to him knowing of his miraculous compassion for us, that he knows and he enters our sorrows. Several years ago, Michelle and I wrote a book called Praying with Purpose. And in her section of the book, Michelle examines the life and the prayers of Hannah. You remember Hannah in the book of 1 Samuel and how she prayed for God to give her a son. And so Michelle talks about how to trust God with your highest hopes and your deepest needs and your hardest, most difficult days. Michelle tells the story of a pastor from the 19th century named Elisha Hoffman. Elisha Hoffman was widowed. His wife had died, and he was ministering by himself as a single man to an impoverished community in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. There, Pastor Hoffman visited a woman whose depression seemed beyond any cure. And as he spoke with her, this woman opened her heart and just began to pour out all of her pent-up sorrows. She was wringing her hands, and she said, "What shall I do? What shall I do?" She was just at a loss. She didn't know what to do. Because he understood something about loss and heartbreak, Pastor Hoffman had also learned about the Lord's compassion and his care. And so he said to the woman, "You can't do any better than to bring all your sorrows to Jesus." She said, he said, you must tell Jesus. And suddenly the lady's face began to light up, and she cried out and said, "Yes, I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus." Pastor Hoppin went back to his home that day and composed the words and music of a song that has blessed so many Christians that says, "I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he surely will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone." When you feel like no one else sees, when you wonder even who cares, Jesus sees and Jesus cares. And you can tell him, and with compassion, he'll reach out and touch your life. And so we see a miraculous understanding and we see a miraculous compassion. But then thirdly, as we look at this text and think about the miracles that Jesus worked in that woman's life, we see a miraculous power. Miraculous power. Jesus restored her child. Now look again in verse 13 of the text. The Bible says Jesus had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." She was on her way to bury her only son, and she was all alone in the world. And Jesus said to her, "Do not weep." Those words would have seemed cruel and cold were it not for what Jesus was about to do. And he knew what he was about to do. He walked over and he touched the open coffin. Now, in doing that, he defiled himself, but he wasn't interested in whether he defiled himself. He was interested in bringing life where there was death. The pallbearers stopped, and as Jesus touched that open coffin, he simply said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." No ceremony, no drama, no hocus pocus, no ritual, just a touch and a word. "Young man, I say to you, arise." Those are not remarkable words. I think my mother used to say similar things to me on Saturdays at 12 when I'd sleep in too long. "Young man, I say to you, arise." And because it was Jesus who spoke those words, and because it was Jesus who reached out his hands, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And suddenly the young man who was dead sat up, the Bible says, and began to speak. We don't know what he said to Jesus, but we do know this. Jesus took the young man. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, the dead man sat up and began to speak, verse 15. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Think about that beautiful scene. As this young man who was about to be buried rose up from his coffin, took the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus reached out his hand to the hand of the grieving woman who was now so joyful and presented that young man back to his mother. Jesus restored her son. She wasn't expecting that. She wasn't asking for that. As she was making her way out to that cemetery, the only thing she expected that day was that she would bury her son, that she would walk back to her home, and that she would spend the rest of her life trying to grieve her loss. That's what she expected. Her hope was gone when her son breathed his last breath. But Jesus had the ability through his power to restore that young man back to life and to restore that woman's hope and joy and life. And you say, well, why did God allow my mom to die, or my son to die, or my daughter to die, or my father to die? On this side of heaven, we don't know the answer to that question. I do know that in the Word of God, Jesus only raised three people back to life. He raised the widow's son back to life. Later on in Luke's gospel, the Bible tells us he raised the daughter of a man named Jairus to life. And then in John's gospel, the Bible says that Jesus raised a man named Lazarus to life. There were other people who died in Galilee and in Jerusalem in the time of the ministry of Jesus. He didn't raise everybody back to life, but he raised those three. Here's what he shows through those three acts of restoration. He has the power over life and death. And the power that he has is able to restore in your life. When your joy is gone, he's able to restore that joy. Or when you have a son or a daughter who's in the far country and you wonder if they'll ever come back. Talk to a mother today who said, Pastor, thank you for your message. I have a son I haven't spoken to in 8 years. Jesus has the power to restore that relationship. Or when you're experiencing something that you just cannot get beyond, he has the power to reach in and through his touch and through his word to bring restoration into your life. He has miraculous power to restore. Many of you know that in just the last several weeks, my wife's precious mother, Pat Henderson, went to be with the Lord Jesus. And so this for us is a tough Mother's Day. And a lot of you know exactly what that feels like and know where we are. We thank God for your prayers. But I want to share with you something that we learned while we were back home in North Carolina getting ready for Michelle's mother's funeral. We were going through some of her papers just trying to find some things. And we came to one fireproof lockbox. And we opened it up, and we saw things. Michelle was just going through, and she saw things she just couldn't believe her mother had kept. And so her mom had kept Michelle's acceptance letter into college. There it was in that lockbox. And she had kept a document showing that Michelle had passed her driver's ed class when she was 15 years old. There it was in a fireproof lockbox saved for posterity. There that was. But then Michelle came across this letter. I'm going to read it to you in just a moment. But it was something we had never seen before. And it just is really precious to us. I've just got a copy of it here. Michelle's mom and dad had been married for 12 years. And they were unable to have children. They tried, but they were unable to have children. And so they began to make plans and preparations to adopt a child. And this was at a time when adoption was, there wasn't the support and all the resources that are available today. But anyway, they were going through that process. They worked through an organization called the Children's Home Society of North Carolina. And they adopted first Michelle's sister, Melissa. And then 3 years later, they adopted Michelle. The letter that I have is a letter that Michelle's mom wrote to the director of the Children's Home Society. It's dated November 3rd, 1970. Here's what she wrote. Dear Mr. Herbert, this is a statement by letter to let you know that my husband, Aubrey Livingston Henderson, and myself, Patricia Haycock Henderson, are ready to proceed with the final order of adoption of Amy Michelle Henderson. And then she wrote this: "Thank you and your staff for the wonderful work you have done in placing two wonderful daughters in our home. Again, we both want to say thank you from our hearts and let you know you have filled an emptiness in our lives and hearts that no one else could do. Sincerely yours, Mr. Aubrey Livingston Henderson, Mrs. Patricia Haithcock Henderson." That last line, "you have filled an emptiness in our lives and hearts that no one else could do," it's a reminder. However motherhood comes to you, motherhood is always a miracle. But I know enough about my mother-in-law to know this, that while she wrote this letter to this man, she knew it was God who had filled an emptiness in her heart that no one else could do. When you're hurting the most, when you need a miracle in your life, when a relationship needs to be restored, when a family needs to be put back together, when the impossible needs to be done in your life, Jesus will meet you where you are. He sees you. He knows your situation. He cares about you with the deepest compassion and love you could imagine. And by His power, He can restore. Think about our story one more time. Jesus was leading His people to a city. The woman was leading her people to a cemetery. Right now, you're either following Jesus on your way to a city called heaven, or you're headed to a cemetery and only judgment beyond. But Jesus met that woman on her way, and He transformed everything in her life. You come to Jesus, and He transforms everything.